Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, you and I as Christians are tasked with the privilege and responsibility of caring for creation. I like to think of this as a tough topic, actually, because often in our world we have made this to be a political thing, right? All of a sudden, the caring for the world or maybe being green or talking about climate change, it becomes either a Democratic or Republican or some sort of political thing. For us as Christians, this is a Christian thing. And it can be prickly. It can be like a hook on a fishing lure. That's why we call it part of our tough topic tackle box, caring for creation. But let's first kind of start off from the get-go. If you look at this picture, this actually happens to be the very first time that in the history of mankind, we were able to see our home, planet Earth. Back in 1968, before we landed on the moon, we sent into orbit Apollo 8's mission to go right over the crest and look from the other side of the moon and see what is our home. We call this the Earthrise. And it was a very monumental occasion that, yes, we live on a round globe. It's not flat. About 6 years later, 1974, we call this the Blue Marble. For the first time, we saw the Earth in its total sphere. And it was pretty wonderful to see this picture. But we're not done yet. A little closer for those that are a little younger. Back in 1990, we sent into orbit in a little mission called Voyager 1. And this picture was taken from beyond one of the rings of Saturn in our solar system. And it went and looked back to where it was traveling and took this photo. And what you see on that little belt is the place that we live and the place that any and every single human being that has ever lived takes place on that pale blue. When you think of that, it puts us into perspective and kind of humbles us to think that all of the hopes and dreams, the hopes and fears of all the years happened on that little tiny speck. And there's a whole big expanse that maybe could seem daunting in the universe. That God created all the planets, all the asteroid belts, the sun, moon, stars, all around us, this big expanse that we call the universe, just so life could happen in the perfect spot on that one little pale blue dot that we call home, that we call Earth. He created it all for you. Now, when you start to think of it that way, it seems less humbling. That, yeah, it seems small, but it's all for you. God created this world, he created this universe so that we could live and that we could serve and we could love our Savior. With that in mind, we have to remember, first of all, where it all comes to in God's Word. Today we heard in one of our lessons in particular why creating for this earth, why caring for this earth matters. We heard today in one of the letters of St. Paul, Romans chapter 8, he says this, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." We can see that at hand, right? When you try to mow your lawn, you get those little nice flower-looking things that pop up called dandelions. We love them. Or when you're out trying to enjoy some nice summer weather, you got mosquitoes coming in. We love those things, right? Sometimes makes you wonder why God created those things, like bats or mosquitoes or ticks. Maybe because they were meant to be food for other animals, but who knows? They're part of maybe the reason why we say creation is groaning. Maybe if you haven't encountered those things, maybe if you're driving on I-94 West to go out to vacation, you might even see this happening at hand. Driving along the highway, you see poor little deer that was hit on the road by maybe a truck. You ever stop and wonder what that animal's life had been up to that point and how maybe you feel about that creation of God. It's really easy to just make it an afterthought. It's like, well, it stinks to be that animal. It shouldn't have been crossing over the road. Then it got what it deserved. Or maybe people tried to hit the animal on purpose to see if they could. You ever stop and maybe say a little prayer as you're driving and say, thank you, Lord, for that animal's life, and I'm sorry that it was taken away so soon? If you haven't, maybe you could. This was a God's good creation that we have seen groaning in these pains of childbirth. But St. Paul continues, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What that means is we have the crown of God's creation. We have the image of God. We are part of God's good earth that is redeemed in Jesus' Easter resurrection. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Are you groaning? Maybe you got some aches and pains that you never really had before. Maybe a knee that's aching. It's a little bit harder to get up off of your seat or get up in the morning. Maybe you got groans that nobody else can see that are sicknesses deep within inside your body. Things that God never had designed for us to have to deal with. Cancer. Sicknesses. Diseases that never go away. We're groaning, believe it or not. But St. Paul says that despite these groans, we, along with all creation, the animals, the plants that just aren't acting like they could, we are waiting for something else, something greater. It says the adoption as sonship, to be brought fully into the family of God by, get this, you might have missed it, the redemption of our bodies. That's the final thing that puts an end to all this groaning. As we talk about caring for creation, the first thing that we have to remember, the little nugget of wisdom that you can take from today is, as part of God's creation, we have the promise that one day God, our Lord Jesus, will come to restore, not annihilate, but restore this creation, and that means you. We celebrated Easter Sunday back on April 4th, and today is just as important because today we celebrate that if we were all to die today, we have the hope and the assurance that we would be already in the presence of God. That's what we call heaven. But together with all of us and the loved ones that we have lost, our relatives that maybe have passed away in the faith, we are all still waiting for that last day when Jesus comes back and restores not only this world, but our bodies. Yes, your bodies will be returned to you. We're not talking about some weird reincarnation. We're not going to end up coming back as a poodle, even though you might like it. Bodies that you have been given, born with, maybe are aching and paining, these bodies will be restored. And so will the bodies that sit in the ground, back to their full intended perfection. Yes, even those that maybe have died before they were given a full chance at life. They will be given that hope of what they could have been because they, like you, are born in the image of God. And guess what? Not only we ourselves, but the whole creation. Trees will act and live and look like trees the way God intended them to be when God comes to recreate, make a new heaven and a new earth. So much so that we call this place our home. As Christians, our goal is not just to simply die and go to heaven. It's a great thing, but guess what? There's even more. We get to die. Hopefully, we don't have to die. Jesus can come back. We don't even have to die. We could die, go to heaven, but also have the hope of a restored creation where if you have a finger that's missing, you'll get it back. If you have a cancer in your body, you'll be perfected and glorified just like Jesus was when he rose from the dead. That's what it means to have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's your hope today. Creation matters because you are a part of God's creation, and Jesus has ushered in a new creation through his resurrection. That's why this tough topic matters for us today. So let's take a look at that. We have a couple different ideas in mind when we talk about creation or maybe even call it nature. These are some things that are floating around in our world today. There's the idea of humankind, mankind, set apart from nature. Now, what does this mean? Three different things. We could talk about humankind above nature. We can think of ourselves as so important that we are the crown of creation, that we can do whatever we want with the earth, right? What that means is we could take as many natural resources. We can take and cut down all the trees because I want lumber, right? The lumber prices are going up and down. I just want to get all the trees for myself. I'm going to ignore the DNR and just fish till I can't fish no more and take all the animals I want. Or you can be humankind over nature. Or you can be humankind against nature. What does that look like? It means that there is so much wilderness out there. Go out west, Yellowstone National Park. You can go out there and say, it's too wild. We need to be more civilized. Let's put up some parking lots and some mini malls and just get rid of all that wild creatures. We are human beings. We're going to make European expansion. That's what it looks like. It might seem odd today, but that's what we did back in the 1800s. Then there's humankind as part of nature, a little more positive. It means that we could be with nature, right? We can be those people that become maybe just the people that you'd wear like a crown of leaves and be kind of like the hippie movement, like just being out in nature. Or you can be humankind into nature, like maybe in the Middle Ages, we had people in the monastic movement, monasteries, monks that just would totally detach, get away from all people, and just sit in nature, like St. Francis. Or you can be humankind within nature. We're going to just be like aborigines, so to say. So there's different ideas at part. What's our relationship with this world? For us today as Christians, we are here today to say that we are creatures, right? We are created among other fellow creatures. When you think of it this way, all of a sudden, this world around us becomes just like your family. Now, most of us like our families to some extent, right? We have brothers and sisters, moms and dads, cousins. We usually get along with them. What if I were to tell you that even the trees, the plants, the animals are part of your family? How would you take care of them differently? These are fellow creations of God along with you. We are also creatures that bear a special dignity, right? A little earlier I'd said that we were, just like Adam and Eve, born and created with the image of God. You have the image of God. Now, it has been broken because of sin, right? Our bodies aren't as beautiful and handsome as they could be because of this world of sin. They aren't working as good as they could be as God intended it. We have lost that image of God, but guess what? We have retained it because of Jesus. We have a new creation to look forward to. And God made you, and God does not make junk. How you treat your body is matters, whether you're old or whether you're young. We're also creatures called to care for the earth. Now, it seems pretty self-explanatory, but what does this look like? Think of how you care for the earth. Maybe some of you garden. Maybe some of you use your gardening because you spend less on getting stuff at the grocery store. You care for the earth by not just excluding it, but you also maintain it. Back in the 1800s, when Europeans came into Wisconsin, they looked at all these great big white pine trees, and they're like, we're rich, right? So they sliced them all down, thinking that they're going to come back and be just as big. Well, 20, 30, 40 years later, they're like, where are all the big trees at? All we see is brush. What they failed to realize was that the Native Americans living in Wisconsin were creating these great big trees because of their slash and burn techniques, creating all the underbrush to be down low. So that means that we have to take care of trees in order to get them big. We have to take care of the world and for them to actually work. And finally, to delight in the earth as our home. We talked about this with our children today. When you simply delight in God's creation, we are caring for it. It's really easy. It looks like going suntanning on a beach. You are delighting in creation. And when you do that, you are praising our Creator. When you're out mowing your lawn, taking care of your home, taking care of other people, you are delighting in earth as our home. Because guess what? It will be restored one day. And the same thing with our fellow creatures. We might not like the deer coming on our lawn, nipping all our flowers and gardens. We might want to just get rid of them all. We might want to poison the animals. We want to put rat traps in our basement. But how can we delight in these animals of our Creator? Growing up, I always loved the attitude of my dad. Whenever there would be like a little moth or a bug crawling around our living room, my mom would freak out and like, "Dad, just go get that thing out of here. Go smash it, right? Flush the little spider down the toilet." What did Dad do? He would take with his hand and make a little thing out of paper and cup the little fella, the little insect, into his hands and let it go outside. It's cute. It was a reminder that these are created things that we have no business in destroying. How can we care for creation? Today, there's also an instance where you look around. It means doing things that delight in the earth, but also doing things that don't help creation. I was once visiting a sister-in-law of mine, and their next-door neighbors have this beautiful, lush green lawn, the delight of any person in this room. But as their children were playing in their lawn, they came back in the house and they were asking their mother, "Hey, Mom, why are my feet orange?" And they didn't realize that they were putting herbicide and pesticide and fertilizer and chemicals on their lawn. And think of what that's doing, not just to their children, but how that is getting on their food and then on their hands and their pets, on their neighbors. So delight in the ecology of our shared home. What that means is that we speak about how others can still delight and care for this home. Be proud of the place that you have. Now, this seems like very theoretical. What can we do today? What can we take home? Few things. What can you do? First of all, if you like to garden, plant a garden and teach your children how things grow. Right? Many people go to the shopping market, to the store, and they never realize where these things come from. Most of our vegetables come from Mexico, different countries even. It's a delight to see a plant grow before your eyes and know that you and God put that on the table. Plant a garden, it's simple as that. Go for walks or hikes, something really easy, doesn't cost a dime. Don't underestimate a simple 30 or 60-minute walk with your family member, your spouse. It's not only good for your body, but it's good for your soul, and it's good for your relationships. That's one thing that my wife and I did over this 2020 period where you couldn't do anything. Go for a walk, and we're better for it. What else can we do? Pay attention to those groans of our world. Take note of the animals that are lying on the side of the road. If you see a dead bird because it knocked itself out by crashing into a window, don't just let it sit there and rot. Give it a nice burial. Say a prayer to God. Delight in creation. Also, identify and learn plants and animals. This is something we've done maybe in grade school, but you can teach your kids about this. Often on one of those walks, you can say to your significant other or a friend, "Hey, what's this type of tree here?" They might say, "I don't know. Tell me." "Well, this is a maple tree. And not just that, it's a sugar maple tree. And this is where we get maple syrup. It's out of a tree. This is what God made." You can do that, and when you do that, you care for creation. What else? Avoid excessive water use, right? In Wisconsin, we are actually privileged to be next to the Great Lakes. We don't have a need for water, unless it's not raining for a month, right? 10% of the world's water is barely fresh water, and we only have 1% access to that. Most of the world's water is attainable underground or in the clouds or in the ocean. If we throw it around needlessly, it doesn't speak well to the people dying of thirst in our world. We can eliminate those chemicals that we put on our lawns just so that it looks perfect and we have the talk of the town. We can compost our food. These are simple things as Christians that give us a Christian witness. We can separate waste and recycling. Guess what? We can do that here in our church. We don't just take our paper bulletins and throw them into the trash. These are things that can be recycled. We can make more paper out of it. Be wise in our choice of consumer products. Some of us just really love to go to Walmart or IKEA or whatever and just get junky furniture, right? Or maybe we send our kids to college and we give them these really flimsy like futons or just cardboard looking like bookshelves, and what happens after the semester's done? They go on the dumpster. I've seen it a million times. What if we invest in something that actually lasts, like those old oak cabinets that our grandmothers and grandfathers have that we still hand down? What if? Purchase items that last. These are things that we could do. What else could we do? For some of you that are like me, you can hunt and fish. Guess what? Hunters and fishermen and fisherwomen are among the world's most important and probably most effective conservationists. Because without them, guess what? You'd have deer running into your car every day. You would have animals infesting your gardens, your homes every day. You'd have fish that are running into your boats every day. Thank God for these people. Take time for a Sabbath rest. This is our Sabbath rest for this short time together. Sit back, let God serve you, but also do the same for your bodies. Growing up in northern Wisconsin in our farm fields, we rotate crops, right? You don't just keep planting corn on the same field year after year after year, right? Because it just drains the soil of its nutrients. What you do is you ground down the corn stalks and you plant alfalfa or soybeans, or you rotate it. It's a biblical thing. Every 7 years, you give your land rest. Are you giving yourself rest? If you haven't yet, take time to have a vacation. And when you do, guess what? It's a godly thing. But also come back at the church on Sunday if you can. Speak of creation, not nature. This is a huge pet peeve of mine. We call it Mother Earth. Or Mother Nature. Guess what? She doesn't exist. It's our Heavenly Father, and He is our Creator. Talk about creation. Because when you do, guess what? You just glorified God. You made it about Him, not about you or somebody else. And finally, take care of your place. Have ownership of your home. Take care of what God has given you, allowed you to have. And that also means this place. This is part of God's creation. He has given us this church to worship in. If we don't take care of it, guess what? It's going to get overrun and dilapidated. Now, guess what? There's a really easy way to do this, because next week, we're going to come back with our Shine and Share events with a simple thing at home. We're going to do a spring cleanup. And regardless of your physical ability or limitations, you can all take part. You can take part in helping straighten up in this sanctuary. You can take part in helping our kitchen get back to full perfection. You can help by mulching, weeding outside in our front church. Because when you make this place beautiful, it says you care about it. And when you care about something, other people know that this is a place where it's good to be. So take care of your place. And when you do all that, you are caring for creation. So put that in your tackle box today and do the same. Care for creation. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith into life everlasting. Amen.